Question of Balance with your host, Ruth Coplin. In the first hour of the show, we ask questions that matter, discussing topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. And if you're a new listener, I'd like to let you know this is a two-hour show. In this, the first hour, we have an out-and-about feature where I go out and interview people on the street on a different topic each week. And with our topics, we avoid politics, which I think instantly polarizes people. People instantly go to their positions. They think they already know what they think about something. So instead of that, we try and look at timeless issues that underlie politics and current events and also our daily lives. And in the second hour, we feature in-depth interviews with highly talented guests from all areas of the arts. And the purpose of the first hour of the show, asking questions that matter, is to try and get us thinking. We're not trying to find a definitive answer, not trying to push any particular agenda, not trying to equally weight opinion on both sides of an issue either. Just trying to start a thought process. And I do this by interviewing people on the street, and it's just the people who agree to be interviewed. I don't know who they're going to be, I don't know what they're going to say, and I feature all the interviews that I do. So I'm just hoping that by listening to other people's thoughts, we, you know, may find ourselves turning over the topic in our own minds, maybe thinking about something we weren't thinking about before, or perhaps thinking about it in a new way. So this week, our topic is, should we have a day of rest each week? And this is something that's been on my mind because it seems to be so difficult to actually take any time for ourselves where we really don't feel busy, busy, busy all the time, where we just have some time to contemplate and really rest on every level, sort of mentally, physically, and emotionally. I wanted to let you know that for the arts interview in the second hour, I'm pleased to be interviewing one of the world's most prolific and popular best-selling authors, Alexander McCall-Smith. He's written over 100 books, including specialist academic titles, short stories, and a number of very popular children's books. But he's probably best known for the internationally acclaimed number one ladies detective agency series, which has been on bestseller lists throughout the world, been translated into 40 languages, sold over 20 million copies, and also made into a television series. Well, the latest installment of the series, The Woman Who Walked in Sunshine, is coming out. And Alexander has fans all over the world, including former First Lady of the United States, Laura Bush, and Flea of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. So there's kind of a range of fans there, showing you that he has wide appeal. And if you enjoy the interview tonight, you can meet Alexander in person in Santa Cruz at a special event on the 9th of November, organised by Bookshop Santa Cruz. If you go to their website, you can get info on that. Well, back to this hour, we're considering, should we have a day of rest each week? I've been out and about getting opinions. Perhaps as you listen, you can have a think about what you might have said if I had stopped you. Well, the first person that I spoke to this week was Sylvester. So let's hear what he has to say. Hello, my name's Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Hi, my name is Sylvester Abrams.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're considering, should we have a day of rest each week? In an interview with Ben Tinker on CNN.com, former ER physician Dr. Matthew Sleeth states that for almost 2,000 years, Western culture stopped primarily on a Sunday for about 24 hours. And so society just had a day where they put it in park. But we go 24/7 now, and there's a consensus that it leads to depression and anxiety. Dr. Slee thinks that the lack of rest is reflected in our saying we don't have enough time, that it's pretty much generally felt that we don't have enough time to really get to the things we want to do in life. I'm just wondering, is this something you experience at all, and would you like a day a week, which is a true day of rest from your labours each week, or do you already have one?
Sure. I mean, there's the weekend, I suppose, but I think that the anxiety and stress that you're talking about associated with, like, working too hard doesn't really have much to do with, you know, having specific days to rest versus, like, how we, you know, our thought process around our work, like, how we handle our stress and anxiety associated with it.
I think what they're trying to get at is that we don't ever have any downtime anymore. I mean, it used to be, you know, associated with the religion, particularly Christianity and Judaism, that on a Saturday or Sunday, when it was the Sabbath, that you would actually do nothing. You would wouldn't work in any way, you know, maybe in extreme times, not even turn on a light switch. When I was growing up, and in, you know, in England, but in America too, you couldn't buy anything on that day. And so people were kind of forced to just spend time with their family or spend time alone or spend time reflecting.
Sure. Well, I don't think that mandated relaxation is really my kind of primary form of stress relief. I think that, you know, everyone relaxes differently. Maybe it helps to have kind of cultural norms around when we should rest and how we should do it, but I think it's up to, you know, each individual to make that decision.
Can I ask you, just one last question.
Sure.
Can I ask you, do you take time to actually switch off completely from your work? Are you able to do that?
I mean, I'm not sure exactly what that means. I try to, like, handle my stress and think about it and relax whenever possible.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your opinion.
Sure, no problem.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my interviews this week on Should We Have a Day of Rest? Remember, if you have any comments, you can email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. I'd love to hear your opinions. Well, next, I spoke to Marla. So let's hear what she had to say. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
My name's Marla Novo.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're considering, should we have a day of rest each week? In Western religious tradition, in Christianity and Judaism, one day of the week was set aside for no work. And this used to be almost obsessively observed, with the smallest things considered to be work and banned. Now it seems almost like the pendulum has swung the other way and we never stop working or thinking about work, certainly never stop being busy. I'm wondering, is this something you experience at all, and do you think we should have a day of rest each week?
Absolutely. I think we're going, life is going by way too fast for all of us. And when I was growing up, I think Sundays were more a day of rest, but it looks like we just don't have that anymore. I'm not sure if we can ever go back to one day of having a day of rest, but I would advocate moments in every day as a time to have rest. That, you know, sometimes, you know, you wake up at 6 a.m. and you go until midnight at night without any breath in between. And so I'd advocate something more of maybe a rest time during the middle of the day, sort of like a siesta, I think could be really great. Because I'm not quite sure if anybody could totally block everything out of their calendar, turn off their phone, and just sort of rest all day.
Why do you think that is?
I just think we've gone so far into overscheduling our lives that might be hard. I mean, I think it'd be great. It'd be great as an experiment to see if we could do that, to pick one day a week, maybe it's even a Monday, and have it be a rest day. That would be exciting. That would be interesting to try as an experiment. But even if we take all of us individually a few moments out of every day for rest and really be conscious that we need to make this space for ourselves, that could be a way to start.
Yeah, that's interesting. The spiritual teacher Yogananda states that we need 2 days off a week, one day to relax and recreate, and one day for spiritual practice to contemplate perhaps the meaning of our life, our purpose, how we can positively interact with the world, maybe a higher part of ourselves or a higher power even. Can you see a differentiation and a need for those two things, that, you know, actually just resting in a physical sense, but also some time to reflect on, you know, why we're even here, maybe?
Absolutely. And I actually personally make that something that I try to do every day, whether it be that I am an early riser, and before my whole family wakes up, I take moments that I can meditate on that, both physically and spiritually for myself. I think that's super important. And, you know, they don't have to be separated, the spiritual and the physical, but I think that could be something, again, that people could try to strive to do. For me, they're almost the same, that when I sort of take time for myself spiritually and physically, it is, they sort of do combined. But I know that maybe rest for other people could mean running and not having,
you know, if they're sedentary, maybe in
exactly.
Yeah.
And that could be a fabulous release that it is in a way a meditation as well. So I think there's all different types. And I think everybody's different. So maybe some people will just need the physicality of resting, that stuff, and other people want a more emotional rest. I guess ideally, as I say that, everybody needs both.
Yes.
We do need both.
Yeah.
So I try to do that daily. Because if we build it all up and wait for this one day to rest,
right,
we might have rest anxiety and not be able to do it. But
yeah,
if we take moments in every day to carve out and say, I need this before I can go on and be productive in the other aspects of my life, I think that could be beneficial.
Do you think there's a guilt about resting?
Totally. In fact, when I have one day where I'm like, I'm not going to do anything but just, you know, hang out at home and stay, I think absolutely our mind is always racing and we're checking our email personally for personal things, professional things. It's really hard to slow down. So it's not that people go on vacation any longer and don't answer their phone and answer their email. We're just plugged in all the time. So we have to be more deliberate and not be guilty to take these times where even if you start off having moments for yourself that are only 10 to 20 minutes long, that could be a huge win for you personally.
Yeah. There's actually research that shows that in order to for our brain to function most effectively and assimilate thought and then have new thought, we have to have some downtime. Otherwise, it's just not possible to come up with more creative ideas. And,
totally.
And so actually we could work better if we did rest more. But that doesn't seem to be something most people consider or are aware of.
I think so. And I think people still consider that a failure. We may say that in our mind, oh, I need a time to do this and to do that. But we think if we do take that time in some way, we're failing. We're not as ambitious as somebody else, you know. And I always feel that I work, but I feel like if I put in my time when I'm working, it's the best I can be, then I can feel good and leave it at 5 o'clock or whatever time I go. You know, I don't need to work 12-hour days to be productive because I then have time to rest, to devote to my family, to devote to myself. And so I think, yeah, it's so easy to say all this and preach all this, but it truly is, you have to make it a part of your life and make it meaningful and make it a priority and not just say, I'm going to do that, but to really do it.
Yeah.
To really turn off your phone, to really leave work at a certain amount of time, and to really have time for yourself that you're just contemplative and with yourself.
Just finally, where do you see that pressure is coming from? Do you think some of it's just all the new technology and we haven't really, we're being a bit Pavlovian and we're just responding to that and we haven't adjusted? Or do you think there's an increased pressure generally, culturally, to be busy, busy?
I think there's it's both, and I think it is culturally. And we just do it to ourselves. And we're like, oh, we can take it if we do this, we do that. I think we're just so bombarded with all of this all the time, social media and everything. We've got to be up on this and up on that and up on that and plugged in. And if you're not, you feel like you're missing out. And I think it is part of our society now. I see it in my kids, too, the amount of homework they have and activities after school and all of that. And it is a luxury to sleep in on a weekend or just have a little moment where you're not jetting off to some activity. And so, yeah, we were doing it to ourselves. So we can also do it to ourselves and give ourselves a break and give ourselves some rest.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for
thank
your
you.
Thoughts.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations about this week's topic, should we have a day of rest each week? And I thought it was interesting while I was talking to Marla, and thanks very much to her. Her phone was sort of giving her alerts the whole time, and I was thinking, wow, you know, this is part of the problem, why it is hard to rest. Anyway, we're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversation after these messages.
The you like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copeland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
About you in the rain. Did I or didn't I say it's forever? Well, I know I said it, babe, it just goes nowhere.
It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Did you know about the Santa Cruz Art League on Broadway in Santa Cruz? Founded in 1919, it's 96 years young and provides a wonderful gallery space for local and national artists. It's a great place to view art with 14 shows a year and also to gain support if you're an artist yourself. There are art classes and weekend workshops, many taught by open studio artists. If you become a member, you receive a newsletter, discounts on classes, gifts and exhibit entries, images of your art on the Art League website, and guaranteed participation in the annual members show. It's also a great place to meet artists. Visit the Santa Cruz Art League at 562 Broadway or the website at scal.org. That's scal.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copeland, and my on-the-street conversations. And I was thinking about the first person that I spoke to, Sylvester, afterwards. His companion shared that they were actually in the area on a work retreat. And I said, wow, that sounds a bit like an oxymoron, you know. And it was quite interesting with the topic that we're doing, you know, can we actually rest from work, that they were actually on a work retreat. Anyway, just thought I would share that with you. Remember, if you have any comments, you can email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. And also, you can check out all previous podcasts at the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. Well, the next people who spoke to me were Susanna and Sunny. Hello, my name's Ruth Copeland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thanks for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
I'm Sunny.
Susanna.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're considering, should we have a day of rest each week? Dr. Sleeth, who is an ER physician, has written a book called 24-6, A Prescription for a Healthier, Happier Life. And he states a stop day is a day you really cease from your labors. This really comes in Western cultures from the Ten Commandments. The fourth commandment tells us to remember the Sabbath. And the word Sabbath simply means to cease from your labors. Now the definition of labor has changed over the centuries and the millennia. For some people, resting from their labors might mean resting from their sedentary job that they have, putting on tennis shoes and going for a run. For those who work physically, that would mean coming to rest. Either way, in his book 24-6, Dr. Sleeth doesn't try to define what rest is, but he asks us to figure out what work is and to stop doing it one day of the week. So I'm wondering, do you see a benefit to that? Do you think we should try and stop from our labors one day a week?
Absolutely. Definitely 100%. And it's very difficult to do for me. Personally, I try to force myself not to do anything like laundry or cleaning or raking leaves or whatever, but I'm always challenged at that. I would love to just read, relax, meditate, pray.
Right.
Walk, spend time in nature and with family.
Right. What about you? Do you see a value to a day of rest?
I do. I feel, you know, even the Lord rested on the seventh day. So I feel that he's an example for us to, you know, our bodies just require us to rest. And if we don't rest, then, you know, we start getting tired, much more tired. And I just feel it's very important.
I mean, it used to be in the past sort of 30, 40 years ago that usually Sunday was a day of rest because there was nothing open. There was nothing for sale, and so people didn't travel so much. You know, the world was quieter. There weren't cars, you know, traveling everywhere. Do you think consumerism has something to do with the fact that we don't rest so much, perhaps?
Well, absolutely. If consumers didn't buy, then they would remain closed. But since consumers want to buy, and now online and everywhere else.
That's true. We can't get away from that now.
Can't get away. So, everything is open.
What are your thoughts? Do you remember in the past it being a lot quieter on a Sunday, for instance?
Definitely. I come from a really small town, and we always rested on Sunday. But being in a, you know, bigger areas as far as like city, like I just feel that as long as you rest, whether it's on a Monday or a Tuesday, just having a day of rest is just important.
Not resting has been linked with anxiety and depression, and this doctor who's written this book feels it also is contributing to an increase in diabetes and obesity as well. Have you ever thought about not resting as actually being bad for your health from that perspective? Or?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Being on this planet for 4 years now, I've learned that, and I can see the results of not resting. And it does affect my stress, it affects my emotions, it affects my spiritual life, everything.
Definitely. I just think of people, whether it's the elderly or the young, you know, they, you know, when you see them resting, it just, you see the joy in them. And I just feel like joy comes from resting.
Do you think culturally there's more of a pressure now not to rest? I mean, obviously America is built on probably one of the strongest work ethics in the world. Americans have the least amount of vacation time, and there's, you know, work the longest hours in Western countries. But do you think that that pressure not to rest has increased even more in your perception over your lives?
Yes, I think that just the area we live in and the people trying to afford to stay here is making some people have to work more so than they would like to. And unfortunately, that's what happens. So I think where people really want to rest, they find that because they've got bills and whatnot, and they've got to pay the bills, that they're working more. So.
But I believe in the Midwest and in more quieter, calmer states like Kentucky and Tennessee, Montana, Wyoming, Utah, those seem to be a lot less of a rat race type thing. We're not chasing after the carrot all the time. But in Hollywood and New York and Portland, I just think, you know, it's go, 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 go. Mm-hmm. Orange County.
Yes, yeah.
And we forget. It's like we got to remember why we're here. What's our purpose on this earth? I think it's to serve each other. And I think it's to help one another and lift each other up. And when we get caught up in consuming stuff and trying to make more money than the next guy, and it gets forgotten.
It's interesting that you bring up about why we're here. There's a spiritual teacher called Yogananda who was most active in the sort of 30s and 40s, and he spent a lot of time talking to Henry Ford about, you know, the work week and things, and he advocated 2 days a week. One day to relax and recreate and enjoy yourself, and one day for a kind of spiritual contemplation of life, I guess, and the meaning of life. And so that seems like something you might advocate.
I would definitely agree. It would be really healthy for us on all levels, physically and emotionally, right, and spiritually. But realistically, in our society, sadly enough, I don't think it's possible.
I agree.
So why do you think it's not possible?
The pressure of working, having to work. And when you work 5 days a week, then that means you only have a weekend to take care of your own home, and your own family and needs. You know, there's shopping, there's cleaning, there's organization, there's all kinds of, you know, paperwork, and it's really quite impossible for me personally to just stop unless I'm on vacation. So we had to go eat.
Okay, well, thank you so much for talking to me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
It was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you. Very informative, I think, for people to know this.
Food for thought.
Yes.
Oh, great. I'm glad you think
good conversation piece.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, my on-the-street conversations. The next people that I spoke to were Barry and Bonnie. So let's hear what they thought.
Hello, my name is Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thanks for agreeing to being interviewed. What's your name?
Barry Hogue.
Bonnie Hogue.
Thanks very much for stopping for our Out and About feature. This week we're thinking about, should we have a day of rest each week? In Western tradition, it used to be accepted in Judaism and Christianity that there was a day of the week that was set aside for rest. Now it seems we just work all the time. Is this something you experience at all? Or do you think we should have a day of rest each week? And is that something you do?
I believe you should have a day of rest. Most European countries have days of rest. I think our society's just come to where we have to work every day.
And do you take a day of rest for yourself, or do you feel the pressure so much that you just can't do that?
No, we take days of rest.
Yeah. And what about you? Do you
Yeah, I think you should have a day of rest. I remember when our kids were growing up, we always made Sundays a special day, and it was more about family than it was about work.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it used to be that you couldn't buy anything on a Sunday, and so that made it easier. Now it seems consumerism has taken a leap forward. Because you can go out and you can buy things, people do. Is that something you've experienced, changed?
Yeah, I've experienced, and I would probably not mind that again.
Yeah, I know. I think back to when I was young and the world was so quiet on a Sunday because nobody could go anywhere. In an article by Ferris Jabber in the Scientific American, he quotes essayist Tim Kreider writing in the New York Times. And Tim says, "Idleness is not just a vacation, an indulgence or a vice. It is as indispensable to the brain as vitamin D is to the body. And deprived of it, we suffer a mental affliction as disfiguring as rickets. The space and quiet that idleness provides is a necessary condition for standing back from life and seeing it whole, for making unexpected connections and waiting for the wild summer lightning strikes of inspiration. It is paradoxically necessary to getting any work done." I'm wondering, have you considered at all that being constantly sort of on the go might be bad for our health or even bad for our ability to work?
I think it's probably bad overall. You know, your mental stability.
Oh, right, yes. Well, there has been a link in research to a greater degree of depression and anxiety. Yeah, you're right there. What do you think?
I think that, it probably is a bigger breakdown in society because people are pressured to work 7 days a week when before they did have a day of rest. So, yeah, I think that you're right.
I mean, obviously, America's always been driven by work. It's had, you know, it works more than any other Western country. Do you think the change is, though, that perhaps the religious aspect of resting is on the decline and therefore work's just seeped even into that area that used to be kept separate by a more religious practice?
Yeah, probably so. I think you're right.
Yeah.
You think because there's less religion?
Yes.
Okay.
What do you think?
I agree. I think there's far few people that attend any kind of service anymore.
Right.
Which is sad.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a sort of sense that to rest, we need to actually physically rest and maybe just enjoy ourselves and relax. But also there's a kind of rest which is about thinking about the meaning of life. I mean, why are we here? Why are we doing all these things that we're doing? Do you think that's an aspect of rest that you think's important?
It's interesting you say that because our daughter just got involved in yoga.
Oh, right.
And she does that complete rest where your body just comes together and just reunites itself. And without having that time, her body turns into almost a toxic, so she's got to go and find that peace in the inner core.
Yes.
So I think as a society that we do need that.
Yeah. And what do you think is the pressure not to do it? Do you think it's just that we've become unconscious and we're just responding to all these outer stimuli, you know, like our new phones and our email and our texts and, you know, what do you think it might be about? What's changed?
I think because we've got so caught up in all those things and wanting them and having them and everything costs so much money, you have to.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like keeping up with the Joneses.
Okay.
I want the next best thing. Now you have to afford it, so you have to go back to work.
Okay. Do you think, I'm just thinking on from what you're saying, that more people are expecting a higher standard of lifestyle, and so that's also driving this because you have to work more to get more money to get more things?
Without a doubt. And the younger generation, they want it, and they want it right now.
Right, yeah. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. It seems like all the younger people that I work with, they always want everything and they want it now. And they are really wrapped up into 12 hours a day is not enough. They have that pressure to where when it's 5 o'clock, they're not supposed to leave. It's you look down on if you leave less than 12 hours a day.
Yeah. And this is somewhat, I mean, it is a global problem to some degree, but specifically an American problem in the number of hours that Americans are expected to work by their employers, which contrary to, you know, there's so much research that shows that that does not make people more productive or creative, but it seems to endure this American idea of you just have to put in that time. Where do you think that comes from?
I'm not sure. It seems like it's evolved over the years, and I'm not sure if it's been triggered down from Wall Street or the big corporations, or it seems like it's trickled down from somewhere bigger than these small little towns.
Yeah. Do you think there's any hope of us drawing back from this?
I'm not seeing it anytime in the near future, especially with the economy up in the upswing right now. I think that the pressure will be even greater to put in more hours and to work more. You know,
so like make money while it's good.
Exactly, and I think the only thing you can probably hope for is retirement.
And even that's not looking so great, is it? Because with Social Security and all of that, it's
right,
like,
exactly.
It seems like in America, it feels like you can never retire. Is that something that you think?
I think it all boils down to more of the corporate world, and you're expected to go to work. If you don't show up for those 12, 15-hour days, somebody else will.
Yeah.
And you'll lose your job. So they're forced into it.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, it seems I don't know how it's going to change, because I don't think we could mandate. Like, I mean, I feel like I would like to say, right, we're going to mandate on a Sunday that no one can do anything. But of course, it's not really practical. But
exactly.
Almost feels like that's the only way. Do you think?
I think as a family, they have to choose that.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I just heard of. I can't remember who it was. So I can't. I don't want to say the name of the company, but it was one of these big companies. Wanted their people to work on their day off for it was to volunteer for something they were asked to volunteer, but if they didn't come and volunteer, they were looked down upon. So that actually their 1 or 1.5 days they did get off, they were asked to volunteer for the company's good.
Oh God, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are some companies. I know a CEO in England, and in his company, he actually mandates that people are not to check work email outside work hours. And if he ever receives an email from them that he sees is from, you know, outside of hours, you know, so there are some people who are more enlightened, but I think they're in the minority, unfortunately.
I think nowadays when somebody's email goes off, the first thing they want to do is grab that phone and see what it is, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe the cell phone thing has probably been a real big decline.
That's
in that.
True. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the mobile phone was bad enough, but now when you can get all that other data, that's a good point. And it's people don't seem to have a lot of self-discipline around using that. There's a sort of, they're not even thinking about it, they just respond.
Automatically pick it up.
Yeah.
And they've got to see who's trying to get in touch with them.
Yeah, yeah.
You might have a special message.
Well, thank you so much for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my On the Street conversations. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversations after these messages.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore, and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week, featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
Nevada's wild horses are disappearing from our rangelands at an alarming rate. Every day, horses are rounded up, captured, sold, and sent off to be cruelly slaughtered for food overseas. The horses you see out your window today could end up on someone's dinner plate tomorrow. We simply must do something to save them. This great country was built on the backs of the horses. They helped us plow our fields, pull our wagons, and they deserve all the dignity and respect afforded other American icons. The horse helped us craft this nation we know and revere today. This is country music star Lacey J. Dalton. I have dedicated my life to save Nevada's wild horses, but I cannot save them without your help. Your generous donations are the only chance some of these horses have. Visit letemrun.com for more information. Join me. Nevada's wild horses are disappearing from our rangelands at an alarming rate. Visit letemrun.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations on our topic, should we have a day of rest each week? I just want to remind you that coming up in the second hour, I'll be interviewing one of the world's most prolific and popular best-selling authors, Alexander McCall Smith. He's written over 100 books and is best known for his internationally acclaimed number one ladies detective agency series, which has been on bestseller lists throughout the world, sold over 20 million copies, translated into 40 languages, also been made into a TV series. So I'm really looking forward to talking to him. He's a fascinating man. Thinking of our topic this week about a day of rest, it's making me curious whether Alexander has ever had time for one. As well as writing over 100 books, he's had a whole career in medical law, working in universities in the UK and abroad. He's Professor Emeritus at Edinburgh University. He's got 12 honorary university doctorates. So that's as well as writing all his children's books and short story collections and all his novel series. However, I have a feeling he's pretty organized, so he probably does manage to fit in some downtime as well, but just reading his bio is enough to make one feel that he needs a day of rest, and I hope that he is getting one. Anyway, back to our topic and my on-the-street conversations. Last this week, I spoke to Jason, so let's hear his thoughts. Hello, my name is Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thanks for stopping for our Out and About feature and agreeing to being interviewed. What's your name?
My name is Jason Bryan.
Well, thanks very much. And this week we're considering, should we have a day of rest each week? ER physician Dr. Sleeth, in an interview on CNN, states, when we're constantly going, we pour out chemicals to try to meet those stresses. We have short-term stress hormones like adrenaline and longer-term hormones like the steroids that we pour out. Those chemicals constantly being on are bad for us, and they lead to anxiety and depression and to, I think, diabetes and being obese. He thinks we should have a day of rest for health reasons. There might be other reasons to have a day of rest, but do you think we should have a day of rest?
Absolutely, we should have a day or two or three of rest, really. You know, so much of our society now is go, 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 achieve, 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 you know, improve the bottom line. You can only function in that model for so long. We have different levels of being, as an entity, you know. It's not just the physical that you see, but it's the mental and the spiritual and the social and all of those aspects. So to just go and drive, you neglect some of those deeper levels of being. So it's important to kind of take a break and rest and decompress, definitely for the health benefits, but also to let the subconscious work. You know, even in the creative process or the scientific process, it's important for folks to, you know, ponder and try to come up to a solution and then step away from the work. And in that rest period, you come to some revelations that you wouldn't have if you were just trying to drive it.
Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of research to support what you're saying, you know, that working more doesn't make people more productive or creative, and that the brain does need rest time to integrate thought and come up with new ideas and things like that. So, I mean, everything you're saying, which is very insightful, is supported by research, and yet we look around us and people are like hamsters on wheels. I mean, they're just going. What do you think is driving that? Is it lots of different things, or is it a cultural thing?
It's really tough for me to put. It's a great question for you to pose for me. It's something that I'll think about later. It's really tough to put a finger on because, you know, I think in a way economics drives it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think in a way the affordability of modern life, you know, we get caught up in all these trappings. You got to have the computer, you got to have the cell phone, you got to have the cable and this and that, you know. And it puts on such a demand on the family unit that, you know, folks are almost forced to have a 40, 60, 80 hour work week. And sometimes that's two partners doing that for the family. So where do you fit in the downtime? I'm a young parent now. Our boy's turning 3. And the biggest thing for me is time management.
Yes.
Which it wasn't such a concern when I was a single man.
Right, absolutely.
You know, so it's important that we, you know, we do our work and we're productive and all of that, but that we have downtime so we can enjoy our son and enjoy ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, I feel like they fall into this equation where it's either they got a lot more time than they do money, or they have a lot more money than they do time, and that's usually the most of us, and even the money's not enough.
Yeah. There was an article in The Economist, actually, which spoke to this very thing that you're saying, is that, you know, there's the people who are time poor and have money feel more busy than anybody else, you know, and less, like, they have less time to do the things that they want to do. And, you know, that it's kind of ironic in a way, you know. And also all these innovations that were supposed to give us more time, somehow that hasn't materialized, and maybe it's because we're filling that time with all these superficial things.
And not that they're a bad thing, but look at your social media, you know, your Twitter and your Facebook and your things like this. It's a major time sink for folks that I know that, you know, it's almost an addiction, I would say, for them.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's all bad. There's good information. There's ways to connect with folks that I normally wouldn't see. But, you know, if I continue down that path and I'm not conscious of, hey, I need to go out and connect with nature, or, oh, maybe I need to go run, or let's play with the boy a little bit, you know, I can be a being that kind of dwells behind a monitor or strapped to my cell phone 24/7. You know, the content is ever, it's always there for you, so.
Yeah. I'm wondering if there's a learning curve. I mean, hopefully we might learn, you know. We've just sort of been exposed to all this stuff and we're just consuming it without a lot of curating of what we're doing. You know, it's a bit Pavlovian, you know, we're just responding to all of this. I'm just wondering whether, you know, we might attenuate our behavior at some point, you know, realize that, oh, maybe I don't need to be engaging to this level, or do you just see it as a spiral that's kind of going on?
I think you're on to something, really. I do, you know, like you have a little bit of a long-term vision, which is lovely, and, you know, probably there'll be some special therapy that pops up to deal with people's social media addiction or these kind of things. Because, you know, if you talk to some of the older generations, they really fret over the kids, and they say they don't know how to talk to people. They don't know how to carry on a conversation. It's all shorthand or this kind of thing. And, you know, I think maybe that's part of the culture now, but also that's like growing up. So as you start to age and you realize that you have projects or goals that you want to achieve, and it takes more folks than just you, you start to learn how to cultivate these kind of languages that, you know, the technology wasn't there for older generations. So That's what your calling card was a handshake and, you know, a little a true FaceTime, you know?
Yeah. Like, I'm wondering also, there was a book called Ritalin Nation that spoke to the high increase in ADD and ADHD and linked it to hyperstimulation, that young people are becoming hyperstimulated to the degree that when they're not, they just don't know what to do with themselves. And so then they're kind of like all, you know, anxious and hyper because they're like, what do I do? What do I do? I'm wondering if we are all to some degree coming to that point where we are so on all the time, so hyperstimulated by all this information that's coming into us, that when it isn't, we don't really know what to do. And so we spend, you know, a few minutes not doing anything, and then we feel like we have to do something.
Well, I definitely can mirror that. I definitely feel that. Like when I'm on task or in a project, and you know, you're doing all this correspondence, and the email and the phone calls are coming in, and then you maybe you have some feelers out there, but you have a lull, you know, like a break in the momentum, and you do feel a little like, oh, what do I do with myself now?
Yeah.
But a spiritual guide, a strong friend of mine, gave me a very, very wonderful personal tool, and he says, learn to meditate in some way.
Yes.
Now, I'm not a very religious person, but I'll just use the words that he used to explain it to me, which was, he said something very interesting, which was, praying to God is like, you know, you're asking for this and the health of this and all of that, but meditation is like listening to God or listening to the source, whatever you want to say for it.
Yeah.
So learning these little tools that you can do for yourself, so when you have moments of lull, it's like, let me reconnect, you know, let me slow down the pace. And the other thing that I would say to that is, put your hands in the dirt. There is science that backs up the bacteria and some of the things about putting your hands in physical dirt actually calms the mind and grounds you, literally and metaphorically.
Yeah.
So and then find a way to sweat. So we're starting to deal with different levels of the body.
Yes.
You know, so the meditation for kind of the spiritual stuff.
Yes.
The physical and emotional stuff with putting your hands in the dirt.
Yeah.
And definitely the physical cleansing of like going to the sauna, having a jog, going for a swim.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff where your subconscious gets to work in the background, and you get the benefit of taking a break from all of this how did you say it?
Stimulation.
Hyperstimulation.
Yeah.
Just some thoughts.
No, I think they're great thoughts. And I mean, it used to be sort of mandated in the West, particularly in America, that you would have one day off a week where, you know, you wouldn't do any work, you couldn't do any washing or turn the light switch on or whatever. You know, it was sort of quite extreme, but it didn't force people to actually stop. I mean, now that has declined to a large extent. Do you think there's a guilt in people that they can't stop because the work ethic is so strong in America? Do you think that's part of it, or do you think it's just the availability of more sources of easy entertainment, you know, that people are just sort of grabbing that?
Probably a bit of both. Somewhere in the middle is probably the answer with that. I think that we have so much available to our fingertips, it's hard to extract yourself from that and remember that I'm a human being, not a human doing.
Right.
You know? It's hard to focus on that. That's where like communities and other groups that support that kind of message are very fruitful. Because you can act in a real time way with individuals or leaders that can kind of remind you, take a breath, exhale, you know, be here now, that kind of thing. But also, you know, people are scrambling to survive, so.
Yes.
So that there is that push to, you know, I keep coming back to time management.
Right.
Because if I can do a little bit every day, but maybe my day or two of rest is like, oh, I did a little correspondence for an hour, or I did a little work on this for an hour. Now I have the bulk of the day to be with my family and do it the right way. And then, and then Monday, you know, we'll get back on the wheel again.
Yes.
You know, but time management, I keep coming back to that.
Yeah. Nobel Prize winner, mathematician and economist Robert John Aumann said in an interview, "The observance of the Sabbath is extremely beautiful and is impossible without being religious. It is not even a question of improving society. It is about improving one's own quality of life." I mean, I think you would say that it doesn't necessarily need to be religious. You could, you know, in that sense, it can be more spiritual and just being in touch with whatever.
Sure.
But it does seem, I think, that kind of observance has the potential to increase the quality of life. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely do agree with that. And folks that are religious, you know, they lean on their churches and synagogues and their communities to spend that time to nourish themselves in some way. But also, it's a community thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, yes. And so I'm all for that. I would more likely, you know, take a small group out into the woods or in the nature somewhere. I think that's a beautiful way to commune, and you get to see kind of what it's really all about. You know, I think that's when I feel the most at peace.
Yes.
And then you come back into the hustle and bustle of life, and you have that little nugget of solace to draw on throughout your work week, and maybe even to look forward to if you know, like,
absolutely.
I got the hike coming or the swim coming, you know, later on.
Yeah, I think that is very important. Well, thank you so much for your thoughts.
Yeah. Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for pulling me away today.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and thank you very much to all the people who took part in the conversations this week, and I hope listening to their thoughts has given you something to think about. And I'm just wondering if you may already have a day of rest all set up, and if you do, all power to you in this world. It's pretty difficult to do that. But if you don't already have a day of rest, I'm wondering, what would it look like for you if you had a day where you really just wanted to be restful and to switch off and maybe get more in touch with your family, yourself, with nature, with a higher power, to take some time to contemplate perhaps. How would you do that? How would you go about that? Would that be just being quiet, meditating, having a nice family meal? Could it perhaps be doing, you know, some kind of exercise during which your mind can switch off and can perhaps flow into different places? So perhaps that's something to ponder on. I think it's something I'm definitely going to give some thought to. And remember, if you have any comments you want to share, you can email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. I'd really like to hear your opinions. If you've got any ideas for topics or guests, then just shoot me an email. And you can also find podcasts of all previous shows at the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. I've had some great topics and some really inspiring art guests. So I would encourage you to go to the website and maybe check some of those podcasts out. And just to remind you again, next up is my special guest, internationally best-selling author Alexander McCall Smith, author of more than 100 books, including the acclaimed and loved Number One Ladies Detective Agency series. So I hope that you can stick around for that. I'm really looking forward to talking to him. I'll see you after the break.